for great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're listening to Germ Warfare with Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Germ Warfare at tntradio.live. That's my email address. Send me an email. Let me know that I'm not speaking into the void. By the way, when you do send me an email, tell me where you are from. I've been getting a lot of emails, and I really appreciate all the wonderful messages of support. I'm glad that you're enjoying the show. It's not me that makes the show. It's essentially the guests with their great conversations. But I do appreciate your very kind words. I know that I am being listened to in Australia, New Zealand, Thailand, the United States, the UK. Even I think I got an email from somebody in Norway. I didn't even know that, like, you know, people in Norway listen to people like me all the way at the bottom tip of the African continent. So that's pretty amazing if you think about it. Like how this the last, particularly the last 2.5 years or so, with all its tragedies and catastrophes, which we'll be chatting about in a moment. Yes, a lot of bad stuff happened, but there's been a lot of good stuff too. It's created a wonderful network of people connecting to one another around the world, and it's a great blessing. I've met the most amazing people, you know, thanks to this fake pandemic of the last 2.5-3 years, you know. And this is why I'm now chatting on TNT Radio as a result, you know, because of all the censorship from the establishment. You know, the market allows for us to broadcast on a great station like this and talk to wonderful people like Rainer Filmich, who's going to be joining me in a moment. I have built a wonderful relationship with Rainer, and it wouldn't have happened were it not for all the disasters of the last couple of years. So let me get straight to my guest. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare on TNT Radio.
Reported fairly.
They are a reliable source.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Rainer Filmich, thank you for joining me yet again in the trenches. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's been a rough 2 months or so, but I'm almost ready now to go back on air with my new format, the International Crimes Investigative Committee. We will start interviewing people this coming week. So we're almost there. It just took me a while to put my crew back together.
Well, before we talk about that, I constantly get told, and I know I've had this conversation with you in the past, but I constantly get told that I'm saying your surname wrong because you're German. So it should be an ish sound, but I say ich because I've got the South African Afrikaans thing going.
Well, yeah. The thing is, the German way is indeed für mich. It's like the CH at the end is like the American way of pronouncing huge, huge. So it's für mich huge. But in the US or in any of the English speaking countries, it's always been pronounced für mich. So we have no problem with that. Not even my mother.
Well, okay. So before we talk about all the stuff that's been happening, let's just for the sake of context and just creating the big picture, let's go all the way back to the start. So take me back to the book of Genesis.
All right. You mean how we started the Corona Investigative Committee? Yeah. Well, this is how it started. I was not interested in this Corona pandemic at all, because when it first happened, or when we, my wife and I, were first introduced to the problem, we were still living at our ranch in Northern California, and we didn't watch any TV. So we didn't know what was going on in the outside world, in particular, not what was going on in Europe or in Germany. But we did get a lot of phone calls from our friends and relative explaining to us that there was a lockdown all of a sudden, something we had never heard before. I remember the term from a Sly Stallone movie. I think it was called Lockdown, and it's a prison term. It's a term they use when they have prison riots. That's when they lock down the prison. So I thought it doesn't make any sense, and I believe that they were exaggerating. It turns out they weren't exaggerating at all. We were getting these calls from even from our clients, many of whom have small and medium-sized businesses, and they were complaining that they were really fearful of losing their livelihoods because the longer the lockdowns last, the fewer customers they have, and there is no money coming in. My wife wanted us to go back immediately. I said, no, let's not do that. Let's stay here and sit things out because this is safe. It's safe because I really do feel safe at the ranch because this is it's on a little knoll, on a little hill overlooking the valley where the Indians used to be. We still find arrowheads there, and I felt really protected by these Indians. But ultimately, we decided, okay, I'm going to go back because I talked to Wolfgang Wodark, who explained to me that this is probably a reprisal or the swine flu 2.0, only much, much worse. So I said, well, okay, then I'm going to come back because I thought the only thing we'd have to worry about is fighting a couple of big pharma companies, and that's about it. But of course, it was much worse. And right from the start, I also asked Wolfgang, we're going to need more lawyers for this. And even my own people, we used to be 17 lawyers, even my own people didn't want to have anything to do with Corona. They didn't want to represent plaintiffs who were suing the government or someone else because, or maybe Dresden or someone else because of the Corona measures, the lockdowns. Wolfgang then introduced me to Vivian Fischer, whom he had known for a couple of years, and said, she's the right one. I got in touch with her when we returned to Germany, and we started the Corona Investigative Committee on July 10th of 2020, basically wanting answers to three questions. How dangerous is the virus really? The short answer is it's no more dangerous than the common flu. It's just a blown up flu epidemic, nothing more. There were no mortalities before the start of the so-called vaccinations. Nowhere, not even in Bergamo or New York. The spikes in mortality that we saw in these two places were, as we now know, the result of malpractice and of panic mongering. The second question was, how reliable is the PCR test when it comes to diagnosis? Is it possible for a PCR test to tell us anything about infections? And the short answer to that is no way. Under no circumstances is it possible to tell us anything about infections, but you can misuse it in order to produce cases that don't exist, false positives. And that's what happened. This is what we learned by interviewing people like Dr. Mike Eden, for example, the former vice president of Pfizer. And the third question was, how dangerous are the anti-corona measures, the lockdowns, the mask mandates, social distancing, and of course, the so-called vaccinations? Now, none of this is in any way effective at all. Well, it is effective in killing people and killing businesses, but it is not effective in the way that they announced it to be. And now we know, as a result, for example, of a Dutch member of the European Parliament asking one of the managers, I believe, of Pfizer. Now we know they didn't perform any tests. He explicitly asked, did you test the so-called vaccine with respect to its effectiveness? No, we were in such a rush. We had no time for that. But that's the whole basis for forced vaccinations. So that is what we did over the last, since July 10th of 2020. We interviewed more than 400 witnesses, and it's all on the website of the Corona Investigative Committee. It will also be on our new website because I was at least 50% of that effort of interviewing as many witnesses as possible. We interviewed people from not just medicine and all walks of science, but also the judiciary. We interviewed politicians, retired and active politicians, and it gave us a grand picture of what is really going on. And you need to know the backdrop of this, because if you don't know the backdrop of this, you're not going to understand what is really going on. You cannot make the right choices because, first of all, you have to understand this is really about life and death. If you don't understand that, then you're not going to make the right choices. That's why I was very grateful to be able to interview people like investigative journalist Matthew Arrett, for example, and others who explained to us that the backdrop of this is eugenics. Eugenics, the British Eugenics Society, the American Eugenics Society, then the first, I think, president of UNESCO, Julian Huxley, who before he became the president of UNESCO was the president of the British Eugenics Society, who explicitly said in 1946, right after World War II, that, oh, we can't talk about eugenics openly right now because Hitler has given it a bad name. Well, sure as hell he did. But pretty soon we'll be able to discuss this out in the open again. And then came the three exercises, Operation Dark Winter, Lockstep, Rockefeller Lockstep, and then, of course, Event 201. We wanted to build a big picture without having people, without forcing people to have to watch each and every one of the interviews, because that's way too much. And that's why I came up with the idea that we're going to do a legal proceeding which would encompass all of the elements, all of the factual elements of what we're dealing with. Eugenics, leading all the way up to the fake vaccines, leading into genocide, because that is what we're really dealing with. So we chose, at the suggestion of my friend and colleague, Anna Garner from the United States, we chose a model grand jury proceeding, because most people know from television what a jury is, maybe not what a grand jury is, but it's something that people can understand. It is used in order to produce all of the evidence you have in very serious crimes to a jury, 26 or 28 of them. And then ultimately you ask them, is this enough to indict, in that case, the model or the putative defendants were BlackRock, Pfizer, Fauci, Drosten, Tedros, and a couple of others. And if then the jury decides, yes, this is enough to indict, then that's how a criminal proceeding would start. We did it for two reasons. One is to show people the whole picture so that they would understand from beginning to end. We're not at the end yet, but from beginning to end, what we're dealing with. But we also wanted to show them that it can be done, that a legal proceeding is possible and how it can be done. And ultimately, I think this is a number of attorney generals in the United States have caught on to this and are now doing their own grand jury proceedings. We'll see. I'm going to go back to the States very shortly for a couple of months or so in order to be part of the legal efforts that are ongoing there. Very promising efforts for example, malpractice. This involves remdesivir, which wasn't used so much in Europe, but it was used in the United States. But well, it was used in Greece. I was there a couple of weeks ago with Professor Susharit Bhakti. We gave a presentation to hundreds of healthcare workers and thousands of their supporters, healthcare workers who lost their jobs because they didn't want to participate in mass murder. So, this is what the committee has been doing, but I have wanted to expand the view beyond Corona, because in the meantime, we have learned that those who are behind this, Catherine Austin Fitz calls them Mr. Global, have much more in their toolbox than just this pandemic. A part of the panic mongering includes tools such as the Ukraine war, global warming or climate change, food shortages, energy crises.
Nord Stream.
That is what they're going to use. All of this is staged, of course, because as far as energy or gas, for example, is concerned, here in Germany, liter of gas costs more than 2 euros, which is a lot of money for German standards. But out in Venezuela, you can still buy a liter of gas for less than a cent. So this shows you, this is just an example to show you that this is staged, and it's staged, it's tailor-made for Europe, because Europe is their first attempt at a global government, a mini global government. They're going to start with the European Union. They've had 30 years to infiltrate all levels of society, but the European Union is what we believe their first target. And if it works according to their plan, then all of our national governments are going to more or less collapse. People are going to lose trust in them. because they're a bunch of idiots, basically. A bunch of idiots, in particular here in Germany, the members of the Green Party who are part of the government, none of them has an education. They don't know what they're doing. And ultimately, this is their plan. They want the European Union, under the highly corrupt and highly criminal Ursula von der Leyen, to be a European mini one world government. I don't think it's going to come to that, because we're on to them and many others are too, but this is their plan. And that's the first step. The second step will then be the creation of a real one world government under the UN, which is, as we know now, owned by the World Economic Forum. And they're behind all this with their Young Global Leaders Program.
Yeah. Okay, Rainer, before we continue, I just quickly need to stop you and go to an ad break. I'll be back with you now.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
I think the climate activists were initially jealous of the COVID lockdowns, but then they literally started saying, we need to do the exact same thing for climate. Do you see that connection? Was it the same people pushing the climate scare that pushed sort of the authoritarian COVID repressive policies?
The left has learned from this, and the left has learned that we can actually be authoritarian and we can get away with it. And so our climate activists are pursuing locking the states down, locking people down, minimizing the amount of energy that's used, directing what food we eat on the premise that we're saving the planet from a normal, very, very slight warming. Now, we've had many warming events in the past. It was warmer in medieval times. It was warmer in Roman times. And populations didn't die then. They expanded, and empires expanded, and people became wealthy. So the whole climate cult is a religious cult, picking up the weapons from totalitarian government actions during COVID. So I think they've been trained very well to fight us and to close us down and have us eating insects in the privacy of a dwelling that we will never own.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you. Involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
Where progress is influenced by revolution and evolution. This is today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
JimWarfare at TNTRadio.live. Send me an email, JimWarfare at TNTRadio.live. Rainer, you're one of my favorite people. You've opened my eyes to so many things since 2020. And you've also introduced, and this is the thing, you've introduced some incredible individuals from around the world who otherwise we might not have known about, and who've had significant impact on the general discourse. Let me give an example. I think Matthias Desmet was just some unknown professor in Belgium, and then suddenly you had him on, and then you and I chatted via email, and then I had him on, and then next thing we know, you know, his concepts are spoken about on Joe Rogan's show. You know, and he's whether or not he's on point is not the point. What matters is that these ideas, thanks to a lot of your interviews, I mean, you've done how many hundreds, 300, 400. A lot of these ideas have made it now into the zeitgeist, and that's an incredible achievement.
Yes, I'm actually pretty proud of our work. I didn't intend this to be this way, but it turns out that the questions that we had are the same questions that most of the normal people have out there. And they wanted answers to these questions, and then they realized that their own governments, as we now know, they're not their own governments, but they're all of them products of the Young Global Leaders Program of the World Economic Forum, and the mainstream media wouldn't give them any answers. And just like you, I'm really glad this happened, because I've been pretty much in line with the mainstream media and our politicians. I didn't really trust them. I thought most of them were probably corrupt, but I thought by and large, they were doing their job. Now it turns out they were not doing their job, and they haven't done their job in a long time. That's why I'm so glad about having met all these people. Most of them, among them Dr. Mike Eden, are now really good friends of mine, or you, for example. And the thing is, even if, as long as my wife continues to love me, as long as my friends have my back, and as long as my dogs want to play with me, everything's cool. If the world comes crashing down, me and my friends are going to prop it back up. That's how I feel. As long as these three elements are still there, I'm not worried about a thing. Despite all the trouble that we're now encountering, and I think the reason why we're encountering all these mounting problems is that the other side is with their backs against the wall.
I mean, that is one of the major things. I mean, for example, the vaccine, the attempts at vaccine mandates, forcing people to get these injections, that has largely failed.
Yes. Even here in Germany,
well, at least more than one shot, sorry, shall I say.
Yes. Even here in Germany, many people who got one or two shots, let's put it that way, have decided we're not going to get another one. My sister, she got two shots. She's a nurse, and I told when she told me she got the shots, I told her, "What are you doing? I mean, I'm giving it everything to you on a silver platter, and you as a nurse should be the first one to understand that these shots cannot be effective or safe, because allegedly they came up with them within 8 months or 9 months. It cannot work, and you must see the side effects." In the meantime, she's seeing the side effects. Now she's putting the dots together, and she decided she's not going to get any more shots. That's why I'm afraid that the next big thing is here in Europe, because this is their lab, more or less, the next big thing will be the Ukraine war being pushed into Germany and into Western Europe in order to keep people in panic mode, because you have to keep people in panic mode. Because that is the only state in which most people, but not all of us, you and me, not, in which most people will follow any orders, no matter how absurd, even if it includes injecting yourselves with something that is totally, utterly unproven and now turns out to be highly dangerous.
And yet, the media, the corporates, the establishment are still pushing it. It's incredible. And onto kids.
Well, that is the worst part of it. And because, you know, I used to think that, and I still think that we should focus on what is good for us, for the resistance. We shouldn't waste our time and energy on trying to convince others who don't even want to listen to us that there's something wrong with these so-called vaccines. But of course, this is not true for those who cannot defend themselves anymore, or who have no choice, the children, for example, but also the elderly who are in nursing homes and who will, in particular, when, like my mother, for example, she suffers from a mix of Alzheimer's and dementia. The one thing she does remember, however, is I'm not going to get the shots. She still recognizes me. She still recognizes my sister. But the one thing she does remember, even though she's forgotten most of the other things, including my father, she does know she's not going to get the shots. But this is not the case for many others. So they have no protection. That's why I have changed my mind a little bit. And I believe now that since we're going to be the only ones who are going to be able to help when this is going to get worse, and it will get worse, because as we now know, these so-called vaccines destroy your immune system. Some people are killed immediately, but with the destruction of your immune system, it's only a matter of time until finally one of the diseases will catch you and will kill you. So ultimately, we will come to a situation in which many more people will need to be hospitalized. And what's going to happen there? They're going to run into people who cannot help them anymore because they themselves have damaged immune systems, or the staff doesn't exist anymore because many of them either die or are on sick leave. So that's why right from the start, we realized we're going to have to do something. We were even playing with the idea of starting our own series of hospitals where the unvaccinated could work. So those are the two groups, the children in particular, who need special protection. And that's why we should do everything in our power to stop these monsters.
I agree. Okay, Rainer, I'm going to ask you in a moment about the breakdown of the committee. Everybody is talking about it on the internet. It'll be great to hear from you. But before I do that, I just quickly want to go to the news headlines.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Several people have been arrested in Russia after allegedly plotting to blow up Moscow's last working pipeline delivering natural gas to Europe. Inflation has surged to a new 40-year high in the United States, crushing the spirits of anyone who'd been fooled into believing the pain was temporary. And SpaceX has reportedly sent the Pentagon the bill for its Starlink internet services in Ukraine, saying it is no longer able to foot the astronomical costs.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Okay, Rainer, before you tell me about all the drama, I've got one or two questions here quickly from people who are listening. Tracy wants to know where can she follow the trials that are going on in the US? I think those are the ones that you referred to earlier.
Well, yes. We're still in the process of putting these cases together. I'm loosely involved. Most of my courtroom experience is in Germany. I've done a few things in the United States, but of course I need the help of the much more experienced American colleagues. But I'm in two, three groups of lawyers. One of them is going to protect members of the armed forces, many members of the armed forces, at least 200,000. Another group is going to go after the makers of the companies called Gilead, of Remdesivir. And the third group of lawyers will focus on the PCR test, on the fact that that is the only foundation for any and all of the measures, including, of course, the so-called vaccines. That, we hope, is going to turn into an open class action, which means open means international class action, so that everyone who suffered damages in a similar way because of the same of the vaccines, but also because of the lockdowns, economic damages on the one hand and physical damages on the other hand, that there's probably going to be a couple of these class actions, but it always takes a long time to prepare that. I've been working on these cases for at least 2 years now. The first attempt we undertook was in Canada. Didn't work out because our colleague Michael Swinwood, his complaint was simply, they got rid of it without even a hearing. This is totally unheard of. But he wrote a brilliant appellate brief. He did get a hearing at the appellate court. They turned him down again. Second attempt was in South Africa. Didn't work out either. That was something similar to a class action. We were trying to get a case filed before the highest South African court, the Constitutional Court. We spoke to the former president of the Constitutional Court. I think he had to step down in October of 2020 because his two terms, I think he has 2 5-year terms, had expired. This man was just...
you're talking about Mokgoeng.
That's him. A brilliant man. I mean, I have a lot of respect for that man. Ultimately, however, it didn't pan out because his successor didn't want to accept the case. So finally, we're going to do We're going to go to where class actions really play a big role. And this is the United States. I've been in these Zoom meetings for the past 2 months, I believe. And hopefully this is going to work. The most important thing to worry about is you have to get the right attorneys together. It's not enough to have attorneys who have lots of experience and who know the law. But in these particular, under these particular special circumstances, they have to be totally on our side, or else you can't work with them. Plus, you have to find the right venue. We know that in Europe, it's almost impossible to find any court of law, which will give you a fair hearing when it comes to these corona cases. But in the US, it's different. There's still quite a few judges who are ready to uphold the rule of law and who will try to apply the law, even when it comes to such difficult cases as these here.
Okay, take me through the breakdown of the Corona Committee. There's a lot of talk about it. I'd like to hear it from you.
Okay, well, it all started on, I believe it was September the 2nd, it must have been a Friday. You have to keep in mind that I'm the co-founder and 50% shareholder of the Corona Investigative Committee. And I think I'm not exaggerating when I say that I'm responsible for at least 50% of the success of the Corona Investigative Committee. But then I think what triggered this is when I told Vivian, the other co-founder, in June of this year, that I would have to go back to the States for a couple of months or so in order to attend to the class actions, to this huge effort, which has taken so much time and energy. But I would continue with our work. I kept telling her that. But I think this is what triggered something. So on September the 2nd, they told me, Vivian told me, and our manager, Corvin Robinstein, told me that there wouldn't be a session because Corvin's wife was having a second baby. And then I was totally surprised to see that there was a session on that day, and her being dressed in black announcing Reiner won't be with us for the time being until he explains about some irregularities. It was very, very obvious that she was talking about financial irregularities. An hour later or so, Wolfgang Wodarg took over explaining how he had worked with me at Transparency International, which is an anti-corruption NGO, which is corrupt at the very top. That's the reason why we left. How we had worked on introducing class actions into the German legal system. A couple of sentences later, without mentioning my name again, he said, oh, but the problem with class actions is that there are a lot of lawyers who line their pockets by working on class actions. It was very obvious that what he intended to say is he's collecting money, but he's not doing any work for it. After that, I realized that there is no basis for any further cooperation. I had for a long time realized that this wouldn't go well. The Corona Investigative Committee's work wouldn't go well because I have always been very frustrated about the non-existent level of professionalism, about how she couldn't be on time, and a bunch of other things that I found frustrating. But after that particular session, I realized this is the end of the line. I would have to set up my own investigative committee. And I also wanted to broaden the view of the committee. And I also wanted to show the people the light at the end of the tunnel, what can be done in order to get out of this, in order to bring people to justice, those who are responsible. And that's when I did an interview with a Swiss alternative media outlet, Bittel TV, of Roger Bittel from Switzerland, who now lives in Tanzania. And I tried to be real nice about it up until it was interrupted by a new video, which Vivian had decided to play in order to interrupt my interview. Up until then, I'd been saying, oh, we've had a lot of fun. We've done a lot of things. We've been very successful at what we're doing. And it does seem to me that a lot of people have very high hopes on the work of the Corona Investigative Committee. And then she came up with this, where she showed this video in which she then in detail explained how I had stolen money from the Corona Investigative Committee, which is a blatant lie, a blatant lie. She's distorting the facts. It's blatant lies. I never stole any money. I never collected any money from anyone for any of the work that I did on the Corona Investigative Committee. She has. We have the bills. But I don't want to go into the details because much has been said about this. The big question is, why did they do this? Why did she do it? Because a day before this, we had at the party, the party leadership of the German, the new German party, Die Basis, the base, which I am the co-leader of. Vivian is the other leader. The party leadership questioned Wolfgang and Vivian, why did you go public with this? Because I had realized, I knew that she was going to do something because she was extremely angry. I just recently learned that she told a number of people, if he utters another word in public, I'm going to destroy him. And that's what she's doing, regardless of the consequences. One of the consequences that she was asked about by the party, whom I had fully informed about everything, they knew everything, was, why did you do this? Why did you not first talk to us, the party? Why did you not consider what kind of damage this would do to the international resistance, not just the German resistance, the international resistance? They were not able to come up with an answer, which now drives a lot of people, including myself, to wonder, why are they doing this? Why are they doing the other side's work? Because, you know, what they could have done and should have done, or she could have done, is she could have sued me. She could have filed a civil complaint if I had stolen any money, a tort complaint, tort law complaint, or she could have filed criminal charges. She didn't do that. Well, big questions, but ultimately, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. But we do have to take into consideration that this may very well be not just an attack on me, but an attack on the entire resistance. And if that is the case, then we shouldn't waste our time on worrying about why they're doing it, because it seems to me, at least, very obvious. But rather, we should focus on the things that really matter. And one of the things that I think really matter is that I get going with my new format, the International Crimes Investigative Committee, and I'm going to be back on air this coming week. So very, very soon. We should also look at all the other issues that we're dealing with, and we should make the right choices, including setting up all these self-sufficient communities all over the globe. It's happening, connecting with each other to exchange the best ideas. But if this is a small part of the larger picture, and I think it is, I really do think it is, it's not just craziness. Part of it is craziness, of course. Part of it is egos. Part of it may be money. I don't know, control. But what happened is that she is manipulating a few people who then manipulate many people. For example, this past Friday, there was another session of the Corona Committee, 2.5 hours long, which she hosted with Wolfgang Wodart, with her boyfriend, Robert Siebes of Oval Media, who we have very credible evidence is totally broke, with two of the other founders of the original Corona Investigative Committee, who had been... we had discarded them because, and I think Vivian was correct in that sense, because they hadn't really shown up a lot of times. They hadn't really contributed to the work of the Corona Investigative Committee. Plus, they had demanded a lot of money if they were going to leave peacefully. So we discarded them. All of a sudden, they're back together. So she is manipulating the other four. And through this manipulation, The net result is you have lots of confusion all over the world, lots of confusion, lots of people worrying about who can we trust? Is there anybody out there who is clean? Anybody out there who doesn't engage in criminal activities? Can we trust anyone? Well, here's what I tell you. look at the evidence, weigh the evidence, and then trust your instincts. Trust your instincts. That's what it boils down to.
I'm just wondering if you were getting perhaps too close to the target. I've seen this many times, is that when you take a huge amount of bullets, you know, that diktat, you know, you're over the target. Do you think that you've been over the target? And it's a quick answer, because I've got to go to a quick ad break. So just quickly answer yes or no. Do you think you are nearing the target or over it?
Yes, I absolutely do think so. Yes.
Okay, Rana, I'll be back with you after this ad break.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
So I open up my email today and someone is sending me articles on people who believe that the United States government is controlling the weather. Now, the last accusation I heard about that was back in 1963, and it was by Fidel Castro. So anyone that is saying that the United States is controlling the weather, you're in league, or you agree with Fidel Castro. What happened was Hurricane Flores stalled over the eastern part of Cuba and wiped out the sugarcane crop, which was their main cash crop over there at that time. And Castro accused the United States of blocking the hurricane to get back at him for the Cuban Missile Crisis. Now, I do advocate for trying to mitigate hurricanes coming to the coast, and we do things like cloud seeding, but we can't control the atmosphere by eliminating CO2, and no one is controlling the weather now. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Democracy is under attack. Western governments are trying to regulate the internet to shut down free speech. The UK government controls the internet. Disagree with what government is saying and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to ofcom.org.uk. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
Rana, I do apologize for interrupting you. It's the nature of live radio. I've got a couple comments here. Let me just read you this one from Norman, going back to people dying. He says, last count that he can see is that around about 30 Canadian doctors have died because of the jab. I mean, that's quite serious, eh?
It's very serious. There is an American billionaire by the name of Steve Kirsch. You've probably heard about him. I believe he and his family, they got the shots as well, until they realize that they're not doing anything good for them, but a lot of people are dying of these shots. And then he decided to take a closer look at the adverse events. It's all based on the American VAERS register, Vaccine Adverse Events Register something.
Yeah.
And but see, we all know that less than 1% of the actual adverse events are reported. Probably much less under the circumstances, because in normal times it's 1% or less. Here we're dealing with a government and a healthcare system which actively tries to keep people, doctors and relatives of deceased ones, keep people from reporting these adverse events. So he came to the conclusion, and I think it's very, very credible, that at least 1.6 million Americans have died after getting the shots, since the start of the vaccinations, the so-called vaccinations. Now, this is only correlation. It's not causation, of course, but it definitely requires a much closer look at the possibility that these deaths may have been caused by the shots. Well, one person did that. It's a German pathologist, a retired professor of pathology by the name of Burkhardt. He now collaborates with 50 of his peers all over the world, including Ryan Cole from Idaho in the United States. And I think they, or he, performed postmortems on 90 people who died after getting the shots. And this is layman's terms, of course, but he found the fingerprint of the vaccines, in the so-called vaccines, in these people in 90%. 90% of the cases, he says, this is directly caused by the so-called vaccines. In 10% of the cases, it wasn't so clear. And in only two cases, he ruled out that this was a result of the so-called vaccines. So this is a very, very deadly track record.
There's another comment here. She says you should sue Vivian for deformation, but I think she means defamation because nobody is deformed.
Yes, I think this may happen. I'm not going to go after her, not for defamation, because this would only give her another another way of dancing on a larger platform. And I don't want to do that. Also, if you look at the German judiciary, you can't trust them anymore. A couple of days ago, I was in Weimar, which is where the now famous judge lives, who came down with that ruling early 2021. I think you remember that ruling. He was approached by the mother of two children, 7 and 9 years old, who wanted him to stop the measures, the anti-corona measures that her children had to endure at school. She said it's torture. They don't want to be tested every couple of days. They don't want to mask up. They don't want to social distance themselves, et cetera, et cetera. Now, he was charged, criminally charged with, I guess the best translation is, this is a crime, perversion of justice. Because based on the testimony of three experts, he decided to prohibit the measures at that school. He made them stop with these measures. 3 weeks later, his office, his home, and his car were searched. His computer and his cell phone were seized. Same thing happened to the three experts, three renowned professors of renowned universities. Same thing happened to the lawyer who represented the interests of the children. Same thing happened to a friend of the judges, simply because she was a friend of the judges. And that was meant not to intimidate him, because this guy is pretty tough. It was meant to intimidate the entire judiciary. And here's what he told me. He said, you know what? I'm not the only one. Here in this town, or maybe close to the town, I'm not sure if he said in this town in Weimar, there's another young judge, a woman, 35 or 36 years old. She lost her job, and she's being put on trial, criminal trial, for perversion of justice. And guess what? For having allowed a pastor to visit a dying woman. This is insanity. This is insanity. Yeah.
Okay, Rainer, we've got 8 minutes left. So tell me about where the new team is going. In fact, tell me a bit about the new team.
The new team, it took me a while to put, you know, we were shut out from all the technical equipment, which is owned by the entire Corona Investigative Committee. Me included. I mean, we don't really own it. It's owned by the donors, but we were completely shut out. So I had to set up a whole new team. I wasn't even able to use my Telegram accounts. I have a German and an English Telegram account, because they wanted to take legal action in order to keep me from doing that. Luckily, they didn't do it, because I threatened my own legal action, and then Corvin Robinstein caved in and said, okay, you can have them back. But I had to set up a whole new team. Part of the old team is still with me. And this coming week, we're going to be back on air. I think the first interview is going to be with Professor Peter Bregan, maybe Naomi Wolf, maybe Professor Zusharit Bhakti, or Dr. Meryl Nass. And the topic will deal with personality changes, because when Professor Zusharit Bhakti and I went to a prison, went to Athens for this presentation that I mentioned, supporting the healthcare people's resistance. He introduced the result of his latest studies, and his latest studies say, of course, these mRNA so-called vaccines are very, very dangerous. They're maiming and killing people. But what they also do is they have the possibility to change your personality. Now, Naomi Wolf just published an article in which she describes how she went to a party in New York. I think it may have been Manhattan. And she felt that people were strange. All of them, of course, or most of them, of course, had been vaccinated, had gotten the shots, how they had acted in a strange way. And she couldn't quite pinpoint this. She couldn't quite put her finger on what it was. And then eventually she came to the conclusion, it appears as though they were just going through the motions, not feeling anything. It felt lifeless, sort of like that. And that's when I remembered what Susharit had told me. And he said, and he had told me and my wife privately that he was dead serious about it. And then the next day he presented his presentation with a number of pictures, and it was very convincing. So he was describing the physical side of this, how the small capillaries in the brain starts with the frontal lobe, how the small capillaries in the brain are damaged, and that's what changes people's personalities. And this is exactly what Naomi described. And Peter Breggin, who I spoke with, Dr. Peter Breggin, the most famous American psychiatrist, he says, I believe that is quite possible. And I can explain about the effects that this thing has on people. It's sort of like lobotomy, which I had always associated with the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So I have no good memory of lobotomy. I've always thought it's a crime against humanity.
Peter Breggin has been on my show a few times. He's an incredible, incredible man. And he actually is responsible for getting me to rethink this idea of mass formation. I know that you've also been rethinking it slightly here and there. Matthias has got some incredible work, but I find myself more persuaded these days by Peter Breggin and John Rappaport's arguments. It's just a personal thing, though. It's just about who's got a more persuasive argument. I don't know what is true.
Maybe they're not really that far apart. I'm not sure about that. But one thing I am sure about is that there are people who are responsible for this. This mass formation doesn't just come up out of nowhere. Someone is pushing this. And in that sense, I believe Reagan has a point when he says that it's panic, and it's intentionally induced panic. And this, someone has to have had this intent. We know some of the people who have had this intent, and we're going to go after them.
Okay, we've got just over 3 minutes. Unfortunately, we are pretty much out of time. So let's do two things. I want to ask where I can follow the new team, but that'll be my last question. What I want to ask you right now is quickly summarize where we're at in a short paragraph and where you see things going.
Well, I think we're really, really, really close to the tipping point. And I'm saying this because here in Europe, in Germany in particular, people are very worried about the Ukraine war spilling into this country. And there was a very recent leak of a paper that was written up. Many people doubt its authenticity, but a paper written up by the RAND Corporation. And what it says, in effect, is, I still believe it's true. You saw it, right? And what it says, in effect, is that the American economy cannot support itself anymore, and they need European resources as additional input. And one of the best ways to do this, and one of the best ways to achieve this goal, getting at European resources, including human resources, is by pushing the war from Ukraine into Germany. This will bankrupt Germany. This will bankrupt the entire Western European, most of the Western European countries. And this is what, and that's why they're so happy about the Green Party's leadership in this coalition party, in this ruling coalition party, because as they say, rightly so, they're stupid as hell.
Okay. Sorry, Rainer, but we are quickly running out of time. Where can I follow the new stuff? The new content.
I think we're going to come up with our new website probably next week. But if not, I'm going to tell you as soon as it's up, because it's, you know, it's been a lot of work, and we decided that it's more important to start with our new format than to have everything in place, because we want to convince people that we're doing a good job. And the best way to do it is by just starting with our job.
Rainer Filmich, thank you for joining me in the trenches. And I will say this, despite all the drama in between and the internal politics and domestic stuff is going on, whatever's going on, I can say with absolute certainty that you have made a huge impact. And I think for that, you can be very, very proud. And I can't wait to see what is still to come in your work. So thank you for all the amazing work that you have done. And as I said before, I do still want to have that glass of wine with you in the near future. Red wine.
And me too. Okay. I know that South African wine is a really good kind of wine. I'm looking forward to that, Jeremy.
Yes, me too. All right. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Luke, for keeping everything going. Email me, jimwarfare@tntradio.live. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the Battle of Ideas on TNT Radio.